the voices that bring an awareness to the spiritual needs in Ireland. We're extremely thankful for this opportunity for us to get to know each other better and for you to find ways that we can stay connected and partner with us in God's ministry in the Republic of Ireland. I'm hitting the forward button, just for the record.
Oh, there we go. Yay!
I'm having a John Baker moment. That's an inside joke, but you all get it. All right, Andrea and I have been married for almost 30 years, and our home base before coming to Ireland was Stirling. And we've been blessed with three beautiful children who are now all young adults, and we praise God that each love Jesus and are actively involved in serving the Lord. You know, it's amazing to see who God continues to bring into their lives to love and to support them in their life and in their journey of faith in Him. And our family is growing through marriage and through welcoming beautiful grandchildren, and we praise God for that.
That's right. We want to celebrate with you and give a testimony to God's sovereign hand upon our lives, as we have seen God's purposes advance in and through it all. His faithfulness and His goodness are beyond measure. Although there are too many things to highlight for this brief morning share, our hope today is to welcome you into the work that God is doing on the west coast of Ireland and the ministry that God has called us to there.
Absolutely. You know, Ireland is a land of green rolling hills, ancient architecture, lively music, and friendly faces, and people flock to the Emerald Isle year after year to take in centuries of culture and tradition. However, there is a darkness closing in that is robbing Ireland of all its beauty. Spiritual apathy, disillusionment with organized religion, high suicide rates, with rampant depression affecting everyone to some degree, directly or indirectly, and empty religious churches is the clear and present condition of this country. Amongst the enclosing darkness is a small flicker of evangelical Christians, and they make up less than 1.5% of the entire population. You know, it's hard to fathom that Ireland is now considered an unreached people group because it's less than 2%. This percentage is the lowest in the English-speaking world, and Ireland is in desperate need of Jesus.
That's right. So 60% of the evangelical churches in the Republic of Ireland are no more than 20 years old. Many don't have their own buildings, nor can they afford to pay a pastor, and they lack Irish national leadership. Many have come to know Christ in the 80s when a revival happened within Ireland. They would run and flee from meeting to meeting in homes to see what God was doing, what He was going to do next. Miraculous things were happening amongst them. Evangelical churches were eventually established, but many of these first-generation believers have stayed in like that babe-like state in their walk with the Lord, with a lack of intentional discipleship mixed with cultural distrust and a tribalism mindset.
You know, they do see a need for ministry, absolutely, but many lack the confidence to know how, nor do they want to help to learn and grow in these areas. This produces huge needs and barriers to ministry all at the same time. This is why Ireland is considered a missionary graveyard. Perseverance, patience, gentleness, and desire to die to self and follow Christ in all our ways is an absolute need to minister in this culture.
So Ireland needs workers to go with a heart and a passion for the gospel and discipleship and be beacons of hope to shine God's light into this evil encroaching darkness. God has called both Scott and I to partner with local churches in Ireland to fight the spiritual battle with the Holy Spirit's guidance and God's authority over our lives. We're so thankful to the Lord for who He has brought on our team thus far to journey and to partner with us first and foremost in prayer and then financial support. You here at Grace Bible Chapel Church are part of this beautiful team that God has put together, and we just praise God for that.
Over the last 7 years, we've worked alongside a small group of Irish believers who are predominantly first generation that came out of a very traditional Catholic. Well, that's a new word. Form of Catholicism. Yeah. In the Limerick area. And what made this ministry unique was that it was 100% Irish. And it was a multifaceted ministry within the Limerick Christian Center, you can see back there, which is located on the south side of Limerick City. This ministry had a church, Christian school, Christian bookshop, 38-bed accommodation used for Christian conferences, events, and short-term missions groups, and an art gallery by a locally known, internationally recognized Christian artist. This center is owned and managed by this small group of believers, and they overcame unbelievable obstacles in fixing up this old crumbling building to see it keep going year in and year out.
So over the last 7 years, we are a part of all of these ministries in some form or another, and we praise God for the many different ways He has allowed us to do great commission work there, and the many, many people we've had an opportunity to share Christ with from young to old. Mm.
Looking back,
I don't think it's... it's going to go...
It'll come. Looking back, it's been a very busy 7 years with many ups and downs and many obstacles to overcome and things that we needed to learn, but also victories. All the while knowing God's good purposes work in and through our circumstances. We continue to desire to live under God's authority and His word. And as we do this, He continues to invite us into the work He is doing by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and discipling believers and training and equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry and helping build a maturing church that desires to reach others for Christ.
With this in mind, we are really excited to share with you about our new ministry with Limerick Baptist Church. Limerick Baptist Church is located on the northwest side of the city. They've been well established into the community for about 136 years, with many ups and downs along the way, but are currently a very healthy and a vibrant community of believers. The vision of their church is to create a community of authentic believers and to witness Limerick City be transformed by the life-changing reality of the gospel. In the last 5 years, they've really felt that God was wanting them to not only see their church grow on the northwest side of Limerick City, but plant a new church congregation in the city in the surrounding area. And guess what? 14 weeks ago, they did just that. They officially started their very first church plant, Crossway Church, located in Castle Troy. That's on the opposite side of the city, the northeast side of Limerick City. Now, Limerick itself is probably about 220,000 people, so about the size of Oshawa. So there are about 80,000 people in that particular area of Limerick City, and there's no evangelical church presence there at all until this past October. Mm-hmm. So amen. Praise God.
You know, there are seasons of change in all our lives, and we never know. Amen. Praise God. And we never know when the changes may come, but God in His sovereignty opened a door for us late summer to walk alongside and partner with LBC and Crossway to do God's great commission work in Limerick. So over the past several months, I have spent a lot of time meeting with deacons and elders of both pastors of these churches. For Andre and I have become our new church family. Mm-hmm. Praise God. In the Limerick area. We absolutely love LBC and Crossway Church. And praise God. And it's been wonderful serving the Lord together these past several months.
Absolutely. So as we've done so, Scott and I have really resonated with Pastor Sam's vision for the heart of the Castle Troy area. As we have chatted, there's a mutual love for evangelism and discipleship, and Pastor Sam has gone to the elders of the Limerick Baptist Church and asked for us to primarily work with Crossway Church. He's outlined ways that he would love for us to be a part of Crossway when we return in February. Some of these are local market outreaches, door-to-door, local school outreaches with our Abbey Tail Puppet Ministry, community projects, child evangelism, fellowship, holiday Bible clubs, of course, Scott on the preaching rota, Sunday school, etc. It keeps going on, but really our heart for discipleship is there too, and we praise God. And what I would love to share with you is that in that 80,000 people, 20 of it is part of the University of Limerick. And it's really, really cool because we're starting to see, you know, a lot of young adults right now really seeking the Lord, and their Christian unions they're having to move to bigger rooms to accommodate all that are seeking the Lord. So it's exciting to be located in that area, and we're just We're just thrilled. This list is not exhaustive, but I think you get the picture that we are so excited about this next chapter, and we're returning back to Ireland in February and putting our shoulder to the plow for the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm.
You know, we praise and thank God for those who've been supporting us in Ireland through much prayer and financial giving. We could not have made it thus far without each and every one of them. And we especially want to thank you for desiring to hear more about our ministry in Limerick and for your prayer support. And each faithful prayer partner God has invited into this ministry brings peace of mind to us. But also to the people that we're serving alongside in Ireland, knowing that we can continue to stay and serve through the Lord's strength and in confidence. And with much prayer about our future, we feel that God has made it abundantly clear to us in every way that the Irish are our people. In fact, almost a year ago, yeah, time flies, we received Irish citizenship. And this was a miracle. And we got that in half the time it normally takes. And this is only God. And we praise God for that because it was the only way we could stay in the country. We really look forward to this new chapter of ministry in Limerick as we head back after a home assignment in February.
That's right. So God is always on the move, isn't he? Everywhere, all over the world. And I loved looking at your mission board. I love to see all the different people that you're partnering with. You know, it's just amazing who God brings on every missionary's team, because really you are an extension of that ministry that we are there. We're partnering together. But God is moving all over the world, and he continues to invite all of us into the work that he is doing to save and to transform hearts and lives. As missionaries in Ireland, we too have also been invited into what the Lord is doing and are prayerfully looking to find some new strategic partners and supporters as well, whether it be churches or individuals and families who will come alongside this ministry and support us on the field. At this time for our new 2026 budget, before we head back the middle of February, so it's not very long, it's only about 5 weeks away, we need to raise around 8% of our monthly financial support before we return back to Ireland mid-February. Mm-hmm.
You know, our hope and prayer is that you have captured God's heart and vision for Ireland, and we trust as we faithfully share that the Lord will stir and move in the hearts of his people to join him in this ministry to the Irish people. We would love to stay connected with you, and if you'd like to know more about our ministry in Ireland and have ways that we can support us on the field in any way, you can get in touch with us. We have our prayer cards, and we also have an updated sheet that just has some newer information. Yep. And we also have a sign-up sheet in the back. If you do not receive our e-newsletters and you would like to just get monthly updates, we have a sign-up sheet out in the lobby. Just write your name down and your email, and we'll put you on. No pressure, but if you'd like to get our newsletters, you're very, very welcome.
There's lots of prayer requests on there, too, yep. So it keeps people updated.
Yes. You know, we'd love to have the crack with you and get to know you better, and we certainly want to thank you for letting us share this morning. And as they say in Ireland, Gadamat Agat. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Take that so I don't get in trouble. All right. Well, it's always a privilege to share here at Grace, and always love the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And before we do that, let's just take a moment to pray and just give this time to the Lord. Father, we just thank you that we can now get into your word. Father, thank you that we can share about the needs of Ireland, but also, Lord, that we can now share in the word of God together as brothers and sisters in Christ, how we can know that we're growing in our relationship with you and that we're knowing you, and as we know you, that we show you to others. And so, Father, I just pray you'd calm my heart, Lord, just to be a great time of fellowship around the word, that, Lord, you just would continue to draw us ever closer to your heart. Thank you for this time and this opportunity. Thank you for the freedom that we still have in this country to share the word of God, even though we know that those days are getting closer where it's going to become even harder to do this. So, Father, thank you that we have this time and that we take every opportunity to continue to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we learned today that Ireland has less than how many percent of evangelical Christians? No, I don't want Andrea. Now, I heard Andrea's voice, and I heard a few mutterings. Norm, you were there. There you go. There you go. I'm not allowed to give you a toy out of the box, but I could. As a guest, I can get away with things because I leave. There you go. So anyways, yeah, so anything less than 2% is considered an unreached people group, which is hard to fathom in a first world country that that would be what it's the situation is at, but that is where Ireland is at. You know, our mission is not to only share the gospel to the Irish, but also to live it before them. It's not enough just to talk that you're a Christian, but you also have to what? You have to show it. All right? And that's something that's been very, very important for Andre and I. Ireland is a highly relational country. And if you're not prepared to drink liters of tea, do not come to Ireland. They drink tea like water and sit and listen to stories and ask about family. Ireland is not a country for you if you aren't into those types of things. That's just who they are. Very relational. They want to sit and have the crack. They want to love. They love just to hear stories and tell stories. One Irish pastor said that if you aren't willing to invest a minimum of 10 years, then don't even come to Ireland. A minimum of 10 years. And that's why we're so grateful that we receive citizenship. Because my Minister of Religion visa is only good for 6 years, and there's no way forward to stay in the country. So the fact that we were able to apply for citizenship now means that we can go forward and serve the Lord in Ireland for however long we can, as God provides and gives us the health, and our calling is clear. But when we think of all of that information about the situation and the where Ireland is at, it's a lot really to kind of take in, isn't it? And so when I was thinking to myself, how do Andrea and I measure up to this relation bit? Well, we love to host. And as we say to all our churches, you're very welcome. You're very welcome to visit. We have space. It's a tiny house, but we have extra rooms. And I always say to people, you're very welcome to come and see not only the beautiful country of Ireland, but see the ministry that's going on there. So we love to host. We love to drink tea. And I am an extremely relational person. We always ask about family. And so we're grateful for these different pieces that God has already pre-wired us in this way to minister to the Irish people. You know, I mentioned a little earlier about living our faith out loud or living the gospel before the Irish. You know, an often misnomer is that Ireland is a Christian country. You probably hear that if you have a conversation with somebody and you're talking about Ireland, these things kind of come up. Oh, sure, look, they're a Christian nation. Why would you ever want to need to send a missionary there? But knowing that what that statistic is, it sticks a pin in it, doesn't it? That's not the reality. The reality is Ireland is in desperate need of Jesus. And if Ireland is truly unreached, then that means that most of the people that we or you, if you visited and that we meet, are lost spiritually. When we work around the Castle Troy area and we move about the people there, we realize that most of those people that we're talking to, they don't know Christ as their Savior. They have an awareness of Christ, but they don't know him personally. And so, I didn't turn my timer on, so you could be in big trouble. All right. So we know then that the fact that if they are lost spiritually, then we have a responsibility as missionaries to do all that we can to love and to care and to build these relationships with them and share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ so that we can move from not just an awareness of Jesus, but have a relationship with Jesus. And what sets us apart? What sets apart a person from knowing about Jesus to truly knowing Jesus personally? Well, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And this morning's lesson, you know, it's simple. I'm not going to be complicated, and I just love how simple really the Word of God is. And I love how the text teaches for itself. And that's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. It's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I just love the fact that how it just, when it speaks to us, it then equips us to know then how we can live our life for the Lord. And one of the things that when you read through 1 John, and I love the book of 1 John, it's not a long book, only 5 chapters. It's a beautiful letter. And when John is writing it, there's a word that keeps cropping up time and time again as you read 1 John, and that is the word to know, to K-N-O-W, to know. And when you look through the book, it comes up again and again. He wants you to know, but we know, but you know. This is how we know. This is how we know. We know. This is then how we know. And again, it just keeps coming up again and again as you go through the book. Because John wants you to get something. He wants you to understand something. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, there's something very powerful that John wants us to know. He wants us to know that as the Holy Spirit inspired him, he wants us to know that it's not enough for us just to have head knowledge about a relationship with Christ, but that from this knowledge that we share orally and physically with our Irish community is something that we live each and every day. This is something that should just be a part of our lives. You know, if an Andrea and I live, act, and talk exactly, etc., the exact same way as the Irish do, then we have missed our opportunity, wouldn't we? When we act like the world or we pretend that we're just like the world, then we miss those opportunities to share Christ, to live Christ before them. And so this is something that not is a responsibility for missionaries or pastors and teachers, but really it's for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ, isn't it, church? It's all our responsibilities. But let's take a look at this text this morning and just to let it teach itself, really. So we're going to look here. We start here. It says that I'm going to read through the verses, and then we're just going to take a look at some of these words and just the meaning of these words and then just kind of unpack it a little bit. It says then in verse 3, it says, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man or the woman who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked." So what is it with this word know? Because even in the first verse, it comes up twice. We know that we have come to know, all right? And the Greek word to know here is gnosko. And it means to know absolutely. It's not enough to say, like someone says, "Hey, do you know about so-and-so?" I know, right? How many times have we done that? It kind of put people off, right? Do you really know? I know. Or if your wife's asking you a question, you know, do you really know what you're doing? And men are like, I know. Yeah. Till they electrocute themselves. So we know that this word that John is using is a very specific, and it's to know absolutely. So when we look at this word know as we're going through the text, that's the word I want you to hear in the background. Absolutely. So it's not enough just to positionally know, partially know, but it's to know in its absoluteness. So when we look at the very beginning of this verse and it says, "We know," it's we know what? We know. See, Andrea's on point, but she may have heard me say this before. So let's try that again. If we see the word knows, if we know, then it means absolutely. So we know absolutely, for sure, that we have come to know him. So there's something very specific John is saying here. He's saying that if we know absolutely, that we know for sure, that we have come to know absolutely him, if. And here's this big word, if. We use if all the time because it's a conditional thing, isn't it? If you eat all your supper, then you get dessert. If you clean your room, you're allowed to live here. So we use the word if a lot because it means something is conditional. You're something that you're responsible for. So if we look at this verse again, it says, "We know absolutely that we have come to know absolutely him if." So there's something that you and I have to have before we can know absolutely, that we know absolutely Jesus. And this if is, if we obey. Let's just stop there. Obey. We all know what the word obey means, don't we? We do. We know what obey means. We obeyed the law as we drove here today, right? Some people are more honest than others. But to obey, or in the King James it says we keep, is tereo. And this word means to guard spiritually, to watch, to keep intact. All right? So it's not just enough, it's not just that I'm doing something, but it's guarding something. All right? So if we know absolutely that we have come to know Him absolutely, if we obey or we guard what? His commands. His commands. Not my commands, not your commands, His commands. And what are His commandments? Entole, which means an injunction, an authoritative prescription. An authoritative prescription. Now, we all know what a prescription is, right? How many of you are gone to the drugstore recently and got a prescription, right? We all know what that means. It means that we're taking something for something. And so in this situation, this commandments that we're to obey, to guard spiritually, to keep intact, are His commandments, His authoritative prescriptions for our lives, right? You will never get a more perfect prescription than God's commandments, than His word. It is the one prescription that when you take every day, it is better than any multivitamin, any super drug you could ever imagine, right? They're always pumping out some new drug, aren't they? Something on the telly that tells you, everybody's happy, clappy, smiling, right? Everybody, you take this pill, your best life now. Of course, you have no liver, you have no heart, you have no lung, everything else is dying inside you, but man, your face looks great, right? So, but we know that in this, from the Word of God, His word is the best prescription because His word is perfect. His word guides, leads, directs us, helps us to know how to live the best life we can for Him, not for ourselves. Because to know Him absolutely and that we can, that we know that we've come to know Him is that there's an if, which is a condition, which means that if we are guarding spiritually His commandments, and we think, well, what are His commands? Well, I just wrote down a few verses that talk about His commandments. This is not an exhaustive list. There's many, many more things that can be said. But Matthew 28:20, teach them to obey everything I have, what? Commanded you, and I'll be with you right to the very end of the age. Things that He has shared with us. John 13:34, I give you a new command. Love each other as I have loved you. Right? And that's what I really believe is the kingpin for everything. Because if we're loving others as He has loved us, that means we love each other with godly love. Because you can look to your neighbor and say, yeah, you're hard to love. Go on. Try it. Wayne, you're hard to love. But it's true. We are. Right? Because we're conditional. We have things that expectations of one another in order to reciprocate that love. But when we see how God commands us to love one another as I've loved you, it means that we're following something that He has prescribed for us. And that prescription is His love, an unconditional love. John 14, 15, and 21, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I'll show myself to them. John 15, 10, 14, he says, obey and remain in love. You're my friends if you obey my commands. So we just see that in some of these verses that these God's commands are not burdensome. In fact, they're freeing because, again, at first we feel like many people say, well, I don't do Christianity because it's restrictive. It's a book of rules. It tells me the things I can't do. But in all reality, the things that He's protecting you from are the things that will hurt you. It's like a child says, why can't I run across the street? Because there's cars, right? We can see ahead, and that we know as adults or as parents or as guardians that there are some things that we already know could cause harm. So we do our best to teach those that are young that these are dangerous things, and if we do our due diligence, it helps to protect them. How much greater the love of our Heavenly Father, who has in his word the very truth that helps protect us, because we are his children. We are not his equal. We are his children. And as children, we would do well to obey, to guard spiritually, to keep intact his commandments, his authoritative prescription. Why? Because this is how we show others that we know him. So let's look at verse 4. So verse 4 says, the man or woman who says, I know, absolutely, I know, if the man or woman who says, I know absolutely him, that's Jesus, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being called a liar. And if I walked up to you today and I don't really know you, but the first thing I said to you, you're a liar. Boy, oh boy. You'd be like, what? What's that all about? Who are you? Right? But we all know that the concept of lying is a hurtful thing. And when we partake of it, we know we hurt others. We get hurt, or we can hurt others as if we lie. And lie is just situes, which is a person who falsifies, misrepresents, distorts, and misleads. A person who falsifies, misrepresents, distorts, or misleads. So when you look at that verse again, the man or woman who says, I know the Lord absolutely, because again, it's not a mamby-pamby to know. This is if you say you know, but you're not doing what he commands, which means you're not spending time in the Word of God. It means that you're not taking his prescription daily about how you can live your best Christian life every day that he has for you. It means then that we are a liar. We are a person who falsifies, misrepresents, distorts, and misleads. Who wants to have that title on their head? Who wants to go around town going, hi, I'm a person who distorts, I'm a person who misleads, I'm a person who falsifies and misrepresents? Nobody wants that. But this is the reality, that if we claim to know him, but then we don't follow his commands, we don't have a desire to know his commands and to spend time in his word to know how to live our Christian life, then it means that we are actually living as liars. Because we're misrepresenting who Christ is to the world. To your immediate family, to those in your neighborhood, to your community, and to those in your church or going elsewhere from there. And the same thing for Andrea and I. If we aren't following his word, if we say we know him, then we have to show that we know him by how we choose to live our lives, how we engage in relationships and in conversations with those around us. That we can't act the same way as they act, because if we do, then how would they know? What's different about you? If nobody ever knows there's a difference about you, then you and I are the biggest posers. Guess who masks as an angel of light? Satan. We can all be deceivers. We can mask ourselves as believers. But if you remove that mask, who are you really? What's really going on inside of you? What's really happening in your life? Where is there evidence that you know him absolutely? And these are self-checks. These are opportunities for us to have open conversations with ourselves, between us and the Lord, and those that we love that are around us that know us better. And talking these things through is, how are we living? What are we doing for the Lord? How are we living? How are we showing others that we love Jesus? And in fact, are we living like we are truth seekers, or are we living as liars and deceivers? That's a hard reality, but this is what the Word of God says. The man or woman says, I know him, absolutely, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. We know that the truth sets what? Sets us free. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, the truth sets us free. And that truth is God's truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we know that he is the truth. And if we aren't acting and we're not following his commands and we're lying, then that means that his truth isn't in us. And if his truth isn't in us, then what life are you living? What life am I living? What am I doing? Why am I here? Why am I at church? Why do I say that I'm a Christian? Why do I want to confuse people? Why would I want to do the enemy's work? Well, we wouldn't want to, would we, church? Instead, we want to do whose work? The Lord's work. We want to be his ambassadors. And as an ambassador, you represent the King. So we know that we are as children of God, that we have a responsibility. So we get to verse 5. So we know this situation, if you say you know him, but you're not following his commandments, you're a liar, the truth's not in you. But if. Now we got two here. We got a little conjunction. We got a situation here. But tells us that something's happening, right? And we got that word if. There's a condition. So it's like, oh, but there's more. But in this situation, it's a good thing. But if anyone, who is anyone? I'm looking around the room to a lot of anyones. I'm an anyone, you're an anyone. When I'm looking in Scripture, anyone is anyone. All right? So if anyone obeys to guard spiritually, to watch, to keep intact, but anyone who obeys his word, which is what? The Bible, the word of God. If we obey his word, and I love this, God's love or the love for God is. You know, sometimes when we read Scripture, when you really slow it down and you really look at each word, it's amazing, isn't it? There's so much, as they say in Ireland, so much eating and drinking in this verse, in these verses. Because there's so many definitive little statements, little nuggets that bring us such hope and joy and confirmation. But if, so again, a condition, if anyone, which is anyone, obeys, guards spiritually his word, the word of God, the love for God or God's love is, which is a definite, truly made complete in him. That is a beautiful hope, church. Is, not might be. Because if you begin to think of all the other words that John could have used, that could have softened it a little bit, right? He could have said, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is, God's love, or the love for God, sort of. Or God's love, maybe, might be. But what does he say? Is. He says that the love, or the love for God, is truly made complete. And that for me, friends, is a hope that if I'm in his word and I'm living in a life of obedience, then his love is made complete in me. That's the intimacy and the love God has for you, church. Isn't that amazing? That's the love and the intimacy God has for you and for me. And for every person that God brings into our lives to reach them for Christ. Because the same love that is made complete in you, he wants to make complete in them. You are not an island. I am not an island. We are not islands unto ourselves. We're not private little islands having our private little chapels, having our private little prayer time, and our private little gospel experiences, and our private little songs. No, it's global. We don't just celebrate missions because missionaries appear. We celebrate missions because we're all missionaries. Because the Great Commission is for everybody. To go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And when I walk through, as we spend time here in Canada, as we spend time in Ireland, guess what? The nations are coming to You. And the nations are even coming more to Ireland. We're there to reach the Irish, but we have influxes of even other countries coming into Ireland. But you know what? Everyone needs to hear about Jesus. And we have a great responsibility as followers to say, because if we say we know him, then there has to be an evidence in our lives that he's truly in us by how we choose to live our lives to honor the king. But if anyone obeys his word, the love for God or God's love is truly made complete in him. And he says then in the second part of this verse, this is, not maybe, not might be, this is how we know absolutely, this is how we know absolutely we are in him. So again, confirmation. No, I just don't know. I really don't know what God wants me to do. I'm waiting to find out. You know, when I read the Word of God, there's no ambiguity with God. There's no ambiguity. We live in ambiguitiedness. Now, that's just a made-up word. And I'm sorry if you're a wordy. But we kind of live in gray, right? Governments live in gray. Societies live in gray. Is it really bad? Well, depends on your opinion. That's your truth. That's not my truth. You know all the nonsense we have today? But when I spend time in the Word of God, there's no gray matter with God. There's no ambiguity with God. There's certainty. There's certainty. When I was sharing Christ with a person at a Christmas party recently, you know, a gentleman who grew up in a very liberal theological construct, you know, when even I was talking about heaven and hell, you could just see their face like, hell. He didn't believe in hell. What are you saved from then? And why do you need to be saved? But when I read the Word of God, it's very clear. There's no ambiguity. There's heaven and hell. Just like there's truth and non-truth. And what side are you on? Are you on his truth or are you living a lie? Because it says if this is how we know absolutely that we are in him, verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. How are you walking? How's your walk? How's my walk? How am I walking for Jesus? How am I living a life that honors him? And friends, the one way that we can know what that is, because sometimes people say, well, I don't know why. How should I walk? Read his word. I know, but it can't be that. No, but how do I know what I'm like? Read his word. Read his word. Don't ask me. You spend time in the Word of God, and you know what? He is faithful, and he will show you how you walk like him. Because we have one called the Advocate, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our teacher, our guide. And if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And he will guide you in all ways to help you understand what God's prescription is for you. To how you can live your best life, not for yourself, not the Joel Osteen, live your best life today. Our best life is yet to come, and that's called heaven. But until he calls us home, we have to show others how they can get to heaven. How they can know. Oh, Andrea. Well, Andrea gets the extra biscuit. She's on fire. But we know that we can know. And if we know that we can know, then we have the opportunity to show others. Amen? And that's our responsibility as a church. A church as a whole and and as individuals, because really we are the church. Christ is the head of the church, but we are the church, the body of Christ. But the body of Christ doesn't always just meet here, do we? We have responsibilities, we have work, we have places to go, we have family. And just like we're here during this time, but one day we're going to get back on a plane and we're going to go back to Ireland and we can't wait. Yes, we miss family, we miss friends, and we miss, you know, sometimes you miss being in your own home country, but I tell you what, there's no greater joy than seeing someone who has no clue about how much God really loves them. And you share, and when they turn that corner and they turn on fire for Jesus, I tell you what, it's the most beautiful thing. Because, friends, the days are evil. So we got to get busy. But the beautiful thing is you can know absolutely. And the best thing is, he knows you absolutely. He loves you. He adores you. You are his child. And he welcomes you into the throne room of heaven to come and to petition and to seek him through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're not alone. You don't live on an island. You have the Word of God. You have your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage each other to know him absolutely and to show him to others. We got to know him, we got to grow in him, and we got to show him. Amen? That's what we got to do. Church, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the simplicity of it, Lord. That I am so thankful, Lord, that I can know you. Absolutely. And that by knowing you, I can know your commands. And as I know your commands, I am then able, Father, to walk as you did because I know how you walked because I spend time in your word. I see you. I hear you. I begin to understand your heart more for the nations. And I'm compelled. Like Jeremiah, where it talks about, if I didn't speak, your word burned inside of me. And that, Lord, that we would have a burning desire to share Christ with those that you bring into our lives, build relationships, build trust, love people, show them the truth, that they too would be set free, that they too would be able to partake of the best prescription they'll ever get, which is you. Father, give us great hope, give us great joy, give us great perseverance as we head into 2026. And we ask this in Jesus' heavenly and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.